Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 18th of November. There are always wonderful programs going on at the Milwaukee Art Museum. We had the great pleasure of being there with Lori Winters and Nancy Pearl a few weeks ago and had an absolutely marvelous morning. Today we're going to be talking with Alberto Alessi, who is president of Alessi and CEO of Marketing Strategies and Design Management, who is speaking at an event that has gathered a great deal of attention tonight at 6:15. He's going to share, and he will with us today, the story of his family's company and the progressive role it has played in bringing creative and functional design to the world market. This has gone on for generations in his family, starting in a little area in northern Italy, and we'll talk about the design, beautiful design, that he has brought to the world. Also joining us is Lori Winters. In conjunction with Alessi being in town, the Milwaukee Art Museum, I love when they do these events, is premiering Art of the Table, which is a four-day event that's presenting the tabletop installations of 22 area artists and designers inspired by the art in the museum's galleries. I don't know how many of you have had a chance in the spring to see their event, Art in Bloom, but I go with my friends every year, and we just have a great time. The designs are extraordinary. So we're going to be talking about the Art of the Table event as well with Lori Winters, who is Director of Exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. And this is also, as you probably know, next year is the 10th, time goes by, anniversary of the whole design and construction of the Calatrava Art Museum here in Milwaukee. It is absolutely gorgeous. I've said this many times, and I will say it again. It's my favorite place in Milwaukee. You go there, and you just feel like you're in heaven. And so we'll talk a little bit about all the events that are coming up. We'll be welcoming phone calls, as we always do. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. You're also welcome to send us an email, and that address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Alberto Alessi, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. I wish I spoke Italian. It's one of those languages that I would love to be able to speak, but alas, I can't.
I try to answer properly with my primitive English to the questions.
Yes, no, you will be doing just fine, I'm sure. And Lori, as always, a great pleasure to see you. Hello again.
Hello. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, good. I'm happy to have you here. How did you happen to bring Alberto Alessi? How did you decide that this was something that you wanted to concentrate on at the museum?
Well, that was easy. Alberto Alessi is the best. We are launching this week, actually today, our Art of the Table event, and we wanted to do it in a big way. It's our first venture in this area. It's a complement to our Art in Bloom activities in the spring. And, you know, Alessi has a long and illustrious career, family career, of making great design available to the general public. So we're obviously selling his work, the factories and the manufacturers' materials in our stores this
weekend.
Oh, you
are? Oh, I
yes.
didn't know that.
So, yeah, we have...
You go shop.
Actually, we're one of the few retailers in the state who carry the Alessi line, so we're very happy mm-hmm. to be able to provide that to our visitors and also to have Alessi here tonight. It's a great opportunity for us. And we're increasingly interested in the museum in 20th and 21st century design. And so it's an area we will be doing more in the future. And it's a great opportunity to start this with Alessi.
Alberto, tell me about your family history. It started with your grandfather, is that right?
Yes, the story started with my grandfather, Giovanni, in 1921 on the lake side. Lake Orta is a very little lake 100 kilometers north from Milano, very close to the Swiss border. And there on Lake Orta there is a 3 centuries old tradition of production of a small object for the table, for the kitchen, in wood and metal. Well, my grandfather Giovanni was one of these early producers.
Was he a designer?
He was an entrepreneur. The only designer in the family has been my father, Carlo. He was trained as an industrial designer, and he was actually the responsible, the author of the majority of the Alessi products between 1935 and 45.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the breadth of the designs. We're talking about coffee pots and lemon squeezers, and what all is designed?
Well, if you focus to the original activity of Alessi, the majority of the products are always the same, meaning small objects for the kitchen, for the table, ranging from pots and pans to drinking glasses, to cutlery, trays, bowls, fruit bowls, wine buckets, and all that. Actually, Alessi is also doing an activity of collaboration with other companies in developing special designs for them, using our designers. So we did a car with Fiat. We have a collection of watches with the Seiko, the Japanese producer, of pens with Mitsubishi. We have a mobile phone, a cordless phone, a bathroom, a kitchen, all that developed with other in collaboration with other companies, completely outside from the original field.
Oh, my goodness, you have really expanded. And you have some 200 or maybe more designers from all over the world?
Yes, around what I consider my stable of good horses is made by 200, yes.
Wonderful. What makes this art, Lori?
It's interesting. We probably wouldn't have called it art 25 years ago. Mm. And it has risen to a level of such sophistication and elegant design that it has become extraordinary in and of itself. So something has, you know, objects have, and this often happens in the field of art history, where something takes on another meaning. If we look at the Renaissance period, for example, Renaissance triptychs and cathedrals or altarpieces were, at the time they were made, functional. We've only called them art generations later. And I think that's what's happening with 20th century design. We've really looked back and we've recognized, with hindsight, the great elegance and design and the beauty that it brings to one's life. So I'm a big fan of 20th and 21st century design, and that's actually why we're doing the exhibition now. And the exhibition, European Design, which is on view in conjunction with all of this, is an exhibition that explores the different types of design, both functional and also conceptual, and the distinction between those, the items that are purely functional on a beautiful level, and those that are not functional but explore the boundaries between artistic sculpture and artistic design. Mm-hmm. So, and Alberto can probably talk more about that distinction and how his company explores that range, but that's something that we're very interested in at the museum.
Well, about the way to our way, the Italian way, or better to say, the way of the Italian design factories to use and to understand design. Well, we believe that design is a new form of art and poetry, and very typical, by the way, very typical of our times. It is a very different vision compared to the vision of the mass production companies. A mass production company, like a car or a TV producer, of course they do use design, but they give to design a kind of inferior role, we say. Inferior role, meaning design is conceived as a tool, just as a tool, one of several tools used by marketing or by technology to improve the quality of products. So this is, we say, it is an inferior vision, not enough to explain where design can go, is actually going in this period.
Do you do both functional and what was the other word you used?
No, conceptual.
Conceptual. Do you use both in your designs, or is it all functional?
Sorry, can you...
Functional. Do you, all that you design, is it coffee pots and lemon squeezers, things that you use, or is it some, are some just to look at?
Well, this story of function and form, or function against form, or the other way down, is, in my opinion, is not completely right. I will try to cover the issue tonight with my speech. Of course, if I do a dish or a fork, this fork has to be used as a fork. So the functional side is there. But the functional side is not enough to explain the reasons why the fork exists and is as we see it. There are the emotional reasons or the formal reasons or, as better to say, or the poetic reasons for the existence of objects.
Oh, it's great
which
to
are
think
not
of
against,
objects
which
that
are
way,
not
isn't
against
it?
Function, but are much more than just function.
Yes. I understand that there are people who buy a Alessi and then just put it on display in places. Their coffee pot will be in a beautiful place in the kitchen, or it might be in the dining room. They're just there to look at, as well as use, but to look at as well. They're that beautiful.
Yeah, they have an elevated status, so that they're functional, but they're also beautiful to look at and enjoy. And it's a transformation of the kitchen in many ways in the late 20th century. The kitchen in the early 20th century was functional. It was closed off. It was a workplace, much like a factory. It was a production line, essentially, for producing food. In the later 20th century, it became something else. It became a place of family engagement and activity, and the spaces opened, and the connection between the kitchen and the family room opened up. So the whole idea of cooking changed very much in the latter part of the 20th century. So how we do that, the tools that we use, have also changed and become more elevated in status as well.
Do you have a signature item, Alberto? Is it the coffee pot?
You mean the most important, typical object? No. We can mention several per decade, but not just one. Should I say only one object? Yes, maybe. Yes, the first espresso maker designed by Richard Sapper in 79, in production since then, maybe. But it would be more appropriate to say by decade. I feel.
Could you tell them by decade?
Yes, yeah. So in the 40s, the tea and coffee set, very rounded, designed by my father Carlo, called the Bombay, 1945. In the 50s, the collection, the family of metal wire baskets, designed by Alessi Internal Studio. In the 70s, I would say this espresso maker designed by Richard Sapper. In the 80s, we have a wider choice. There is the Michael Graves water kettle, the one with the little bird.
Oh.
There is a Philip Starck citrus squeezer, the one with the spider, like a spider. In the 90s, Alessandro Mendini, the corkscrew called Anna G, which is actually a portrait of his girlfriend. The plastic product designed by Stefano Giovannoni. In the past decade, the 2000, probably the work of Jasper Morrison, you know, this minimalist, neo-minimalist British designer. And now, in this decade, we will see.
Mm-hmm. That's what Laurie wants to be eventually, is a minimalist, she told me at the last,
yes,
the last session we had. So yes. You'll be interested in looking at that,
you have a
Laurie.
Good memory. Yes, I actually will.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Did your father teach you design as well when you were growing up? I would imagine you know how to design, don't you?
Oh, Lisa, this is a gray period, because actually my father didn't want me to be related to design.
No.
I do not know why. No. He wanted me to be a mere businessman.
Really?
Yeah.
And you went to law school?
At the end, he decided as a compromise for law, because in Italy it is considered something in between from business and humanities, humanistic studies. And so I went for law.
Is your father alive?
You know, he died last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So he was still happy with what happened with you, though?
At the end, yes. But it took me some 20 years to convince him.
Families are like that, aren't they? Well, I'm glad he was proud of you at the end. That's good. Now tell me, Lori, a little bit more, because I think these are absolutely terrific ideas. I don't know who comes up with these, but this tabletop, what are you calling this? This tabletop designs that are going to be going on in conjunction with European design and also with Alberto. You've asked designers or?
We've asked designers and artists. So there are 22 installations in the permanent collection galleries. The artists and designers have been asked to respond to a gallery space with a tabletop design. So they've brought in their own tables. They brought in their designs. Some of them are holiday oriented. Some of them fall more strictly into the category of artistic and or highly personal and emotional responses to the environment. So it's a great combination. But some of the local artists include Joanna Paleman, Tim Garland, Ray Chi, Della Wells, and then we have national and local retailers like Design Within Reach, George Watts, Crate and Barrel, Williams-Sonoma. So it's a really interesting combination between what we would consider the more commercial design versus the artistic component. So we're bringing them together.
May I ask a question?
Of course you may.
But will the companies present new products or new projects, or are they already...
These are
like Sonoma, for example.
They're
presenting.
They're not launching a new line, but you've given us a great idea for next year.
Yeah.
We would love to be the center for, and really the platform for launching new designs. I think that'd be fantastic. So will you do that for us next year?
Yes, would be great.
Fantastic. There we go.
We can discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A deal has been made.
Absolutely.
To the exhibition.
This is how projects evolve. When we first started our Art in Bloom project in the spring, I think the first year we had 3,000 visitors. Now we have 15,000 visitors over a four-day period. And it's partly because of just all of the great ideas and feedback that we get from people who are involved. And it really takes on a life of its own.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it must be wonderful because we're all about to set tables for Thanksgiving and for the holidays coming up. You'll have a lot of people who will just want ideas from the tables they see, right?
And some of them are holiday themed, which is really interesting. And that's a time when I think, you know, families and households really try to make a special effort to, you know, sort of put their best wares out. And, you know, certainly I do. I'm not the best cook in the world, but I do try to, during the holiday time, to do something exceptional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I do too. Mm-hmm. Have you seen these tables, Alberto?
Not yet.
Oh, you have not?
I'm very curious.
I'm sure it will
today,
be wonderful to see them through your eyes, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're excited to... right after we leave here, we'll be going to the museum, and we'll be showing him the Calatrava edition for the very first time.
So. Oh, you haven't seen it yet.
Spectacular design.
Exactly.
You will love it. You will absolutely love it. You'll never want to go back to Italy if that's where you live right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll just want to stay there. Let's welcome phone calls for our guests. Our number is 800-486-8655. Joining us in our studios in Milwaukee, Alberto Alessi, President and Director of Marketing Strategies and Design Management, Alessi Designs, and he has a long family history of design, and many of you, I'm sure, listening are quite familiar with all that they have given us and the great designers they've worked with from all over the world. It's been in his family since 1921. Lori Winters, one of our favorite people, director of exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. So here's the scoop. Alberto is speaking tonight at 6:15. There's a big crowd, but they are going to release, it's sold out, but they're going to release the tickets for people who don't come, and there will be an overflow place where you can hear what he has to say. And there's also the European Design Since 1985, Shaping the New Century, which is taking place, and for the next 4 days, this is a real highlight, Art of the Table, the four-day event presenting the tabletop installations of 22 area artists and designers.
Well, one more thing, too.
One more thing.
I know, it's hard to believe. We could actually have one more thing on top of all of that. But we do have a contemporary installation by a contemporary artist named Robert Therrien. It is a work that's called Under the Table, and it is literally a giant table. It's about 10 feet high, 12 feet wide, and 20 feet long. So just imagine your own dining room table blown up 10 to 15 times. And that's on view in our Windover Hall. So now we're just looking for the big turkey to go on top of it. And it is a huge table, and it really is a sort of conceptual piece, and it fits perfectly in our Calatrava building.
Great. So somebody will have to bring the turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go to phone calls. We'll do that in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Interesting that Lori should mention the large table, because the second hour of our program today, Lori David will be joining us. Her latest book is The Family Dinner, Great Ways to Connect with Your Kids One Meal at a Time. Lori was the producer of Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth. And the book is, it's not only recipes, but it includes how important it is for so many ways. And she talks to a lot of families to have dinner together day after day after day after day after day. She also has ways that you can have terrific conversations around the table, and she's very interesting. So, and she's divorced now, so she also still brings the whole family together for dinner many days a week, so we will talk about that as well. All right, phone calls. We start with Margaret, my favorite name, from Sister Bay, Wisconsin.
Hello.
Hi, Margaret.
Yes, this is Margaret, and I have a store in Sister Bay, Wisconsin. Up in the door, so to speak, and we have been carrying Alessi for 3 years.
All right.
Fantastic.
I discovered it when my husband took me to Florence for my 60th birthday, and my whole family now will have Alessi as of this Christmas.
Whoa. Oh, Margaret.
Yep. Yep, yep. We've been using all the bathroom things. I think they're one of the greatest things for the children is Rondo and Otto and Sten for travel. Those are the dental floss and the toothpaste cap. And it's a great way to get the little ones.
Well, you're
be
a big
more
expert
in the bathroom.
Big expert of Alessi, Margaret. You're a big expert of our products, Margaret.
Only in that grouping.
And it all started in Florence.
I fell in love. I bought them for me and my husband. I bought them for our kids as gifts. And then I tracked down Alessi and found the store in Chicago, and they referred me to New York. And that's how I found you.
And what did you like about it right off the bat, Margaret?
The humor.
Really?
The humor and the practicality of it.
Huh.
You see the combination with form and emotion.
Yes, and
function
emotion.
Function and emotion.
Yeah, it tickles me. It just tickles me. I smile at them. I use them with great joy.
Oh, this is great, Margaret. Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is that an unusual way for people to find you? To be going into Florence and see it all of a sudden?
I don't know for Americans. For Europeans, no, it's not that. Usually the discovery of a product is done through the use or even by buying in a shop. So it is normal. It is surprising to me that, I wish that more U.S. consumers would be that aware of our designs.
Is that starting? More U.S. consumers are becoming aware, I would think.
Slightly, yes.
Yeah. Tell me more about the humor. She said she thought they were funny.
The humor is a story like that. Once, many years ago, Philip Starck said Alessi, a definition of Alessi. Philip Starck is a French, very famous French designer. He said, Alessi, c'est un marchand de bonheur, is a merchant of joy, of happiness. Mm-hmm. And this, in a way, is one of the roles that good design in objects can bring to people. A little bit of contribution to be more joyful or more happy.
Hmm. Will those be on display, those toothpaste tops and dental floss?
That I don't know, but we do have this in a, sort of a in our stores, and we have three. We have an artist marketplace for this weekend. We have our exhibition store, and we do have our regular store at the museum. And I do know in all three stores we are carrying Alessi products. So the specifics I don't know, but you'll see more Alessi there than ever before.
Right. Well, thank you, Margaret. That was a wonderful call. We have another Margaret. How often does this happen? Margaret from West Bend. Hello.
Hi. It's so thrilling to have both of you on the radio at the same time, for goodness sakes. Laura, your work is brilliant, and Lock Art Museum is so lucky to have you. And Alberto, it's fabulous to be able to talk to you, your voice to my voice. I have a teapot that is going on 30 years old, I'm going to say, and it's starting to look worn. And I'm wondering, how can I make it look new again?
Can you explain me what kind of tea? It is a tea kettle, you mean?
Yeah, the tea kettle is stainless steel with a chrome finish.
Chrome finish, but to boil the water.
Well, it's just to boil water, and I keep it on my stovetop all the time,
yes.
You know, wash it very frequently. Probably not every day, but nearly every day. I don't use the stove every day, but every day I use the stove. I do. If there's anything on it, I clean it off.
And what's
so just with warm soap and dishwater? But it's getting scratchy and. It's a little, the chrome is wore through in some places, uh-huh. So it's tarnishy looking.
I guess it is something that you are using on the fireplace also?
Right on my gas stove that I cook on.
Yes. So it is what we call a water kettle or a tea kettle.
Right.
I think the best way to have it back as it was the origins would be to send it to us to restore in Italy.
Oh,
I'm afraid it is a bit expensive, but if you have a special affective relation with your item, I think it makes sense to imagine.
Right.
You can send it to our sister company, Alessi US in New York,
okay.
And they will take care of it.
Oh, great. Well, I will.
It is only a matter.
It will be well worth it. It's such a fabulous teapot. It is my prized possession, hands down. And I even designed my entire kitchen around it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness! Well, you do need it restored. Then, how did you find it? Did someone?
Well, I first saw it in an ad for, I think, some maybe a solid surface countertop ad or something, or something in a magazine. It was a printed advertising piece, and I immediately fell in love with it because it's the best of all worlds. It's F2, form follows function. It's perfect. There's nothing you want to change about this. And I had to have it. I dreamed about it for a long time, kept the ad under my pillow, believing in the morning when I woke up someday it would be there. And, of course, that doesn't work, but you can always hope. And one time my husband was on a business trip to Denver, and he was at an area that has some kind of shopping place called Tabor Hill or Tabor something, I don't know what. Some kind of mall, and he bought it and brought it back for me, and I am still reliving the thrill of that moment of opening that box and seeing that incredible teapot.
And so, you're still married to that guy?
No.
Oh, you're not? Oh, I thought that was going to seal the deal.
It was even more wonderful, but what can I say?
But tell me, Margaret, is that you're meaning the teapot with the little bird on the top of the spout? Not that one.
Right, okay. Well, I will search for the place in New York. Thank you for the direction. I appreciate it. And I will leave you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. That's quite a
story. She loves this.
It is something that is very normal with our product, the metal ones, because at the end, they never end. They are in. They have a life that can continue for generations. I mean, you can live to your children or to your grandchildren.
Right.
And it is very, at least in Italy, where, of course, because of the distance, it is not that difficult. We repolish them. It is a matter of taking again out the brilliance of the stainless steel.
Oh, you've just made her day. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's such a good example of how a single, actually, and even a small object can really have a kind of an emotional power on a person.
How true. Yeah. My story, I don't get to tell this very often. And it's probably nothing that's valuable. I have to look at it tonight. But my mother used to enter contests all the time. I don't know if you have that in Italy, but she always won things. So the first thing, when I was about 10 years old, unless I was younger than that, maybe 6 years old, she entered a contest for the A&P grocery store in Illinois on why I like to shop at A&P in 20 words or less. And she won. And that's not very many words. And she won a set of pots and pans. And I still use them to this day. And every day I use it. And I think of that story and my mother. And I hope that that pot will live forever because it's...
They will.
It will, won't it? And I don't think it's beautiful, but maybe it is because it's lasted a long, long time. So I see what Margaret's saying, and she's got something that's a work of art. Oh, great. I'm having fun. Karen is next from Gresham. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Your screener had not heard of Judy Chicago and her dinner party, and I'm a little puzzled.
Well, Chrissy is young. She heard of it now. Chrissy is well-informed. She knows what's going on.
How could that name not be brought into this discussion? And would you please?
Okay, Judy Chicago.
I do know Judy Chicago, and she's very important to the history of women artists in the third quarter of the 20th century. You know, and her famous work is a dinner party, which is a kind of updating, a feminist updating of the theme of the Last Supper. So, thank you for your call because you're already giving me ideas for next year's Art of the Table. Maybe we need to have an updating of the Last Supper theme, you know, the great Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci, which was conserved within the last 20 years and is a fantastic thing and, an iconic image of Italian Renaissance art and of art history in general. So you've planted some interesting seeds.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Why not have Judy Chicago's dinner party as an installation sometime? It's sitting in storage, I understand.
Oh, is it?
It's an interesting idea, and thank you for the suggestion because it's something that probably wouldn't be familiar to our community, but maybe should be. So, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Karen, very much for your call. I'm trying to remember when that came out. I'm certainly old enough to remember. It was a big splash when that...
Yeah, it was, I think, the late 70s.
Was it?
Yeah, late 70s or early 80s. And it did travel to a number of museums. I don't know where it's at in storage now, but I could certainly find that out for fairly easily. But it's a large-scale work and... In some ways, a kind of precursor to contemporary installations that we know, and even a kind of early precursor to something like the Robert Therrien table that we have on view in Wendover Hall, which is, 40 years later, but a kind of take on the idea of what it means to be at a table and the dinner, and it really evokes the relationship of the family at a dinner table.
Right. Here's our number. We're talking this hour on the Ideas Network with Lori Winters, who's director of exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Alberto Alessi has come all the way from Italy to be on our show, actually to be at the museum. He is giving a lecture this evening in conjunction with a feature exhibition, European Design Since 1985, Shaping the New Century. He is speaking at 6:45 tonight. It is a sold-out event, but I would recommend that you still show up if you're vitally interested in this because there will be some people who won't be able to attend, and there's also going to be an overflow crowd room. Also, and I think that this sounds absolutely wonderful, this is a four-day event, the Art of the Table, and I know that for Art and Bloom, you draw in all kinds of people. You're going to draw in a lot of people for this, too, that presents the tabletop installations of 22 area artists and designers. So you can do that. You can see the exhibit. You can hear Alberto and it'll be fun.
Well, and we also have a lot of other things going on. So we have lectures. Our museum chef, TKO, is presenting the art of the plating. You know, really the art of putting food on a plate on Saturday at 2 p.m.
Nice.
And we're happy to offer to our Racine Art Museum members free admission on Sunday. We have a collaboration with them, and this is a great opportunity for them to come to the Milwaukee Art Museum. And their own director, Bruce Pepich of the Racine Art Museum, will be speaking at 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Hmm. Many, many activities. Tell me about industrial design for a moment, and I also want to know where everything is made. Your father studied industrial design?
Yes.
Alberto?
He was trained as an industrial designer, and when he started working in Alessi, middle 30s, let's say, he started working as a designer. He designed the majority of the Alessi products between 35 and 45, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
Then, right after the World War, and he abandoned completely his activity as a designer. He became the general manager of Alessi instead of my grandfather, Giovanni. And during the 50s, early 50s, this is very important because it is the historical moment of birth of the Italian design factories phenomenon. In the beginning of the 50s, he started calling outside designers and architects to come and to have a collaboration with us. The same as a generation of young Italian entrepreneurs did in the same period, with asking a new generation of designers and architects to come and to, let's say, to reshape the Italian landscape, industrial products landscape.
So he called and they came.
And they came. And so started the story. Of course, during the 50s, they were outside designers, were only three to four. The same in the 60s. When I started in 1970, what I did was to exaggerate with the number of extending the number of designers, which are now more than 200.
Hmm.
Yeah.
More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our next caller is Mary from Milwaukee. Hello, Mary.
Good morning. I'm wondering if Lori Winters would know whether the Brooke Stevens Museum is still open in this area. He was a very famous industrial designer, starting, I think, about in the 1950s, and designed many items for houses and cars. I once visited that museum, and I was absolutely intrigued, and I think it would be very interesting for Lori to show him, if at all possible, that museum, as well as the Calatrava, because that man came well before Calatrava, and I think this esteemed guest needs to know that here in Wisconsin, we've had many people who had similar designs, shall we say.
Yeah, let's find time.
Yeah. Mary, I couldn't agree more with you. In some ways, we've already anticipated your call. And I think it was 2003, we did a major retrospective looking at the work of Brooke Stevens. And he designed everything from blenders, sort of mixers, snowmobiles, to speedboats, to the interior cabin of the Hiawatha train, to the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, which we had on view
The
museum. And it was a huge success. I mean, he designed automobiles. We brought them into the museum. And, you know, so I have been thinking, I have to correct myself, because I had been thinking that, you know, this was the sort of first moment when we're sort of launching an interest as a museum in the issue of design. But actually, we had an early moment in 2003 when we anticipated that. We do have exhibition catalogs, and I couldn't agree more. Brooke Stevens, a fantastic Wisconsin designer, and well worth seeing.
Okay, and there's a museum devoted to his work.
You know, now that I'd have to check on that. So
okay.
I really
do you know that, Mary?
No, I was there, but it was so many years ago.
So there probably isn't now.
And possibly his relatives have failed to sustain it.
Right.
But it was well worth seeing.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I do know we have a number of his works in our museum.
Okay.
We occasionally have things on view, and I think right now in one of our galleries we have a children's snow sled that he on view in our gallery. So there are a fair number of things that you could come to the museum to see. And we do have some things also in storage that we keep and occasionally bring out. And then I know that MIAD at one point, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, has viewed his work and also has collections of his work.
Oh.
Is there a book on his work?
We do have a book on his work, and I will make sure that
right.
that you get that. And
fine. Bine, bine, bine.
And Mary, if you're interested, it sounds like you're a huge fan. We do have the exhibition catalog for Brooke Stevens, and we do sell it in our store.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Thank you, Mary, very much for the call. Wanda from Orfordville. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. This is a very, very interesting program. And this would be just an idea for Lori Winters. I'm surprised somebody hadn't come up with it before. For this huge table, you don't want a turkey. Put an emu on it.
Why an emu?
Why an emu?
Yeah.
For scale.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, that went right over my head this morning.
Mine too.
Okay, so we should actually have visitors emailing in. We should have our blog. We have a Facebook. Email your suggestions for what should go on top of the big table. I would love to have these suggestions on Facebook, so please do that.
All right, great. So we'll give you, do you have a Facebook too? We have a Facebook page.
We do at the museum, yes.
All right, so do both of them at the same time because we want to see them as well. What's the Facebook page for you? Do you know?
You know,
somebody will bring it in. Who's
our marketing director is out here. She's going to rush in with that information so I can give that to
and
all of you.
You can also go to the Kathleen Dunn Show. You don't have to be a member of the. You just can go and put something down too, and we can forward it. Yeah. But we'll get Lori's Facebook page too. You're not a big Facebook user, Lori. You got it. Oh, I love Facebook. I don't know why, but it's good.
Yes, yes.
All right, somebody will bring it in. All right. Thank you very much, Wanda, for your call. We do have some lines open now, and that would be great. Suggestions for what should be on top of the table. You should get many of them, but I still go for a turkey that everybody could eat, the whole staff could eat. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. How do people, do you have a catalog of all the Alessi designs and products available, Alberto?
Yes, of course. There are some books about the history of Alessi and, of course, annual catalogs showing what is in production today. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yes. The production, tell me about where is the production? How
the
does
center
it go
of the company and the center of the production is in between two northern Italian lakes, Lake Orta and Lake Maggiore. It's a little village called Crusinallo, very difficult to pronounce, and actually close to the Swiss borders, 100 kilometers north from Milano. There we do, since the origins, our metal production.
Have you been there, Lori? You need to go there.
I've been to northern Italy and Switzerland. Have not been specifically in that area, but it is, you know, sheer beauty.
Oh, I would imagine.
The lakes and the mountains.
Oh, it must be spectacularly beautiful. And there's been no motivation or desire to move to a big, bustling city to do this. It wouldn't be the same, I'm sure.
Actually, the only big city around is Milano, and it is well known a bad city to live. So we stay so well in the mountains, and we don't see any reason to move from there. We are there, we will stay there. There is also a long tradition of manufacturing this kind of small metal objects up there. So it is convenient also.
Yes.
Find specialized workers.
So the workers do this from generation to generation?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
How do they learn their trade, their craft?
There are some schools and also through working in the factories, in the companies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Our number, if you'd like to join us, 800-486-8655. I want to spend a moment, too, speaking with Lori, just in anticipation of the 10th anniversary of the Calatrava. First, Alberto, what kind of reputation does Calatrava have in Italy? And you must be anxious to see this design.
Of course, I knew the project since from the books and the magazines that published. But I'm very interested to see it directly. Calatrava, well, he is one of the most interesting architects at the beginning of the century. So no doubt that he's very important for the development of today's architecture.
Right.
He is playing an important role even today.
Yes. And Lori, where do you take, it must be a great pleasure to be able to take someone like Alberto to see the Calatrava for the first time, and you're the director of exhibitions there. How will you show him the Calatrava?
I think he'll show me the Calatrava.
And
he has a nuanced eye for design, and I'm sure he will see immediately all the subtleties of the design from Calatrava.
Oh, that's wonderful. So together.
But where the decision came from about Calatrava?
Oh, that's a
Who
good story.
Who decided for?
Great story. I joined the museum in January of 1997. We broke ground in December of that year for the new building. So I was not part of that decision process, but I heard about it, and it is interesting. I think it's a reflection on the Milwaukee community. They started with a list of 100 architects. And that included everyone, as you can imagine, all of the big names like Meyer and Gehry and Renzo Piano and so forth. And there were certainly a number of buildings by those great artists and architects. They narrowed it down to 20, and Calatrava made that cut. He had never done, never finished a building in the U.S. So there was a committee developed of 30 people on the committee to make the decision about the architect. They traveled to Japan and to New York and to Toronto and to Lyon to see the train station, to Barcelona. And when they saw the BCE building in Toronto by Calatrava, they were unanimous in their choice of Calatrava because of the way he used the space and light. And so it's, you know, it is truly remarkable for a committee that large, a selection committee at a museum, to be absolutely unanimous in their choice of the architect. So I think that, you know, and it was a risk. Calatrava had never completed a building in the U.S., never designed a museum. So, you know, a lot of people think of Milwaukee as a conservative place. Not at all. Milwaukee really recognizes talent.
Oh, I love that.
The committee was made by people from the museum.
People from the museum and people from the community as well.
Community.
So
local.
Wonderful. Let's go to Tom in Winona. Hi, Tom.
Just a quick example of this form and function. One of my treasured souvenirs from my travels throughout Europe is a... I don't know that it's one of your designs, but a Lagostina pressure cooker. And the major reason I bought it, besides the fact that it's an ingenious design, is that it's a work of art. In fact, I'm in my kitchen right now, and I'm just looking at the pressure cooker, and it's just pleasant just to look at. So these Italian designs, and my mother's maiden name is Pagliacetti, so, I mean, I have a connection there as well. But just the aesthetics of it, the form...
May I ask you, why did you bring a pressure cooker from Italy?
I used it in Italy, and then I bought one here in Canada from a store in Canada.
I see.
But I saw them first in Europe, throughout Europe, and was just, it does, the cover does not screw on. It's actually a curved circle that sits inside the top.
It is the Italian system that it is almost impossible to sell outside Italy, actually.
I think it's brilliant.
By the way, Lagostina is a producer also of coming from the tradition of the little village of Cusinallo. It's a separate company. We don't have almost anything to do with them, but they are also local in the same village.
Very good.
Nice to hear.
Thank you.
Grazie.
Thanks very much for the call.
Okay,
are you doing a tour around the United States, or are you coming here specifically to be here?
I came, I had a 24-hour trip to come here to Milwaukee to attend to the exhibition. Then tomorrow we will go to Philadelphia because of this other Alessi exhibition at the Museum of Philadelphia, and then back to New York. So it will be...
You'll be speaking at the Cooper Hewitt on Monday.
Yes, I will be speaking at the Cooper Hewitt in New York.
Oh, my. You're a big star in America these days.
No, it is not. The only point is that I come very rarely. So when I'm here, they try to use me as long as possible.
I can understand. Yes. You'd rather be in that area in Italy, probably. I can imagine it'd be very hard to leave there. All right, once we're almost out of time, I've had so much fun this hour. Just give us the information about when things are happening, Lori, and when the lecture is, and all of that.
Great. So Art of the Table starts today at 10 o'clock. It's in conjunction with our European Design Exhibition since 1985 and the exhibition of a single great work of art by Robert Therrien. It's called Under the Table. So the Art of the Table features 22 artists and designers, and it does have a holiday spin on it. And Alessi's product will be available in our three gift stores at the museum. And tomorrow night, we have our MAM After Dark, which has an under-the-table theme. I'm not sure what's going to be going on under the table, but I think it'll be exciting and interesting as usual. And, I do put the challenge out there for anybody who has an idea for what to put on top of the table, the big Robert Therrien table. You can always contact us at facebook.com/MilwaukeeArt.
Okay. Yeah. We got a Facebook page for you. That would be fun. Let us know. And you can go to our Facebook, too, and put suggestions on there. And then maybe you'll see your suggestion on the actual table. Thank you both so much for the
Grazie.
Hour.
Grazie. Thank
delightful.
You to you.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Oh, yeah.
Grazie.
I wish I said. Do you speak Italian?
Not at all.
Oh, don't you think we should learn?
You said a nice grazie. Say it again.
Grazie.
Yeah. Buono.
Thank you. Our guest this hour, Alberto Alessi. He is President and Director of Marketing Strategies and Design Management at Alessi Designs. And Lori Winters, our friend, Director of Exhibitions at the Milwaukee Art Museum. It's a great place. Thank you to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour. Thank you to Chrissy Pease for all our on-air production. We'll return with another hour of conversation right after the news.